Teresa.
You did not want us to vote to have a fundraiser to finance the elections. And then you say, well, we can't have the elections because we don't have the money. There are many people who don't want you on the board, that don't want certain people on the local station boards. Can you handle that? They want a fair election. They want a chance to put people on the board that can support our stations. They want this election, and they're willing to pay for it. That's all.
Donald, then Susan.
Yeah, I find this conversation infuriating for the following reason. Many people on this board love to wave flags of free speech and democracy, that they should be allowed to have free speech and ultra democracy in Pacifica. Yet when it comes to trusting the members on one day of national fundraising, whether they will donate to have an election, you won't let them. I think that speaks volumes about who's on this board and what their agenda is for this board. Thank you.
Susan and Jim Dingman.
Yeah, hi. I appreciate that Lawrence has brought this language forward. We are in this situation, and we need to find a path in it. And I would like to refer this issue to the Elections Committee for the Elections Committee to come forward with a proposal that charts what our best actions are during, in light of the fact that we're already out of compliance with the provided timeline. I think that the Elections Committee already came forward with a proposal to fundraise in order to support an election. I think if everybody wants to follow the bylaws and be in conformance with them, we should be supporting this fundraising effort, and we should ask the Elections Committee to advise about any actions that need to be taken in order to remedy the situation we're in now. And I think that we have to understand that some things could only be accomplished by amending the bylaws, and that is an arduous process.
Jim Dingman.
Well, it is a conundrum. And as someone who's always been 100% in favor of elections as the way to select the board members locally and nationally, it is a conundrum. And, you know, again, we get back to the problem of the stations needing to improve themselves holistically in each station, so that we don't have these problems of the money. I would suggest that the board strongly urge the implementation of the resolution about communication to the listeners, because the listeners need to know that these things are going on, and there has to be monthly report to the listeners telling them at each station area what's going on. And I bet you sit there and talk to those listeners and tell them what's going on. My experience has been, based on literally talking to dozens of them over the years in New York, they're all people of goodwill, and they will respond favorably to these kind of issues if money is needed. I think you just have to talk to the people, okay? Because if you don't have the money, I mean, this is a real dilemma. We don't have the money. We might not have the money to pay payroll, let alone pay for elections. So, I mean, come on, guys.
5 minutes.
Thanks. Mr. Tatum?
Yes, I'll be real short. I just want to say, in terms of violating the bylaws, yes, if you miss a deadline that you were supposed to make, you have violated your bylaws, and that's a point of order. And anybody on the board can raise a point of order. Now, when you continue to not have the election, that is what's called a continuing point of order. You know, March the 31st is gone, but the board has to try to stop the continuing point of order by holding this election. So, in short, yes, you are violating the bylaws, and yes, that's a point of order, and yes, it's a continuing point of order that must be dealt with as soon as possible. Now, if you go to court, I'm not a lawyer, you go to court, if you are making efforts to correct this point of order, you're going to be okay.
Thank you, Mr. Tatum.
Lawrence, then Vanessa.
Got 5 minutes. Her up.
I move to suspend for 5 minutes, Chair.
Second.
Any objections to the motion to extend for five? Hearing none, we're extended for five. Lawrence.
Thank you. And my notation and my notice to the board was a point of order. And the bylaws have allowed us to democratize the network that has been constantly under attack by those now speaking that they want to stand up for democracy. So again, you can't have your cake and eat it too. Well, you could eat it, but you should share it, right? But in any event, that was the notice. That was the reason I noticed the board. I tried to bring this up, and I was blocked by the previous chair, back in November. And I noticed this now because this is a continued point of order. And I'm not in opposition to raising money and target money to have these elections. I'm not opposed to that. That's why, but we still have to be in compliance with the law and with the articles of incorporation in regards to doing our due diligence in regards to either extending or changing the timeline, the time frame, in order for us to start fundraising to have these elections. That's what we have to do. We can't put the carriage before the horse. We have to attach the horse to the carriage in order for us to roll. So, I do not have any opposition to doing what, my colleague from Texas, Teresa has suggested. But we need to take care of business first, and we need to be in compliance with the law and the articles of incorporation, to come up with a time frame, so we could deal with this point of order. That, thank you, Mr. Taylor, for clarifying that. Thank you, Chair.
Sure. Vanessa, then myself, then Teresa.
Okay, so instead of having a fundraiser to pay for the election, I think we should have a fundraiser to pay for the frivolous lawsuits, and then maybe we could afford to have an election. This is not the first time that we've been in this position, and we found legal ways in the past to deal with it without trying to bankrupt ourselves in order to abide by bylaws, that there are other ways to deal with the situation. We have to put first things first. We have to do the priorities first. And it just, to me, sounds like an excuse to force the network to spend money that it doesn't have as a pretext for further attacks against the network.
Thanks. The point I was going to make is I think that one of the things that we ought very much to consider in terms of finding a path forward is not only to put down to come up with a timeline for the elections, but to have
Julie, you froze.
We lost her.
Yeah. And I really wanted to hear that. But she froze.
That fundraising. Just turn my video off and hopefully that will help. I'll just start over again. The thing that I think we really ought to do in terms of finding the path forward is set up have the elections committee set up a timeline, right? But that part of that timeline needs to involve, how to do some fundraising around paying for the elections, right? I didn't dislike the idea. I just, was hesitant to say we should, go gangbusters on the fundraising when we haven't figured out the timeline. and also, you know, work on, you know, the idea of, you know, we need to raise this much money by this point in time to proceed, or something to that effect, but to have, you know, clear-eyed sense of how can we make elections this year work? I mean, ideally, we do elections this year. It's an election year. You know, it's a last resort that we, you know, go to something else, but, you know, to kind of work up a schedule that, and I don't know how to work up that schedule off the top of my head, right? But maybe that's something that we ought to refer to the elections committee, and that should be their, you know, top priority of business for their next meeting.
Madam Chair, point of order, I guess. I thought that I had moved to, maybe I didn't make a motion, to refer this matter to the elections committee for them to, you know, review and come up with a timeline.
Honestly, I don't remember if you did or not.
She did.
Yes, she did. She did, Chair.
Okay, was it actually a motion or just sort of something that you said, you know, in the discussion?
I am saying it's a motion.
And if it is a motion, I second it, Chair.
All right, then. What I do remember way early on was saying, hey, if somebody wants to make a motion that, we, you know, is the path forward in terms of having this election timeline discussion. So to be clear, Susan, does your motion include, you know, a little bit of what I just said about putting the fundraising in that timeline as well?
Yes.
Okay. And I see Teresa and Jim Sagerton's hands. Teresa, go ahead.
And I would like to say the timeline and the fundraising plan as first priority of what we do and report back to the PND.
Absolutely. That sounds good. Jim Sagerton.
Yeah, can you hear me? I don't know if I'm unmuted.
No, we can hear you.
Good. Okay. Yeah, part of what makes me believe in Pacifica is that we have elections. I mean, this is a unique institution, but we are so broke and we are coming up against such hard choices. I understand we do have a precedent in prior year where we switched an off year and an on year election in the timeline. I do agree with Mr. Tatum that if this ends up in a court, we show the court we're trying, that we can be okay. It's about doing the best we can in what may be an impossible situation. And that's one doctrine that in court that can help you get around situations like that. If it's just impossible for you to do what your bylaws say that you should do, it's not like they're going to line you up and shoot you. And I also just want to say that, you know, money is fungible. And if we have an emergency fundraiser for an election, which we may have to do, but then what are we going to do when we need an emergency fundraiser for a tower, the tower rent, or to make repairs on a building, or to pay for a lawsuit that we have a court order that says we have to pay?
Jim, your time is up.
Each fundraiser makes the next one harder, and we're bleeding our listeners to the point where they can't contribute, or they, you know, they're reaching a limit. We have to, we're in a very difficult situation. That's all I'm trying to say.
Apologies, 8 minutes.
So, Donald just raised his hand. And so we would need motion to extend to him, for Donald to.
No. I'm going to withdraw so okay. We can vote because okay. We are past midnight.
I also noticed that. Let's take a vote on this Well, are there any objections to Susan's motion to send this to the election committee to develop the timeline, including fundraising, and report back to the PMB? I hear no objections. Apparently the motion is passed. If anybody's still listening, you know, I'm sorry about the heart attack I just gave you, right? Yes.
Risa and I are chuckling.
Understood. We are at midnight. We have two new business motions or two new business items still on the agenda. And we talked about powering through the open session agenda. So that we would, you know, get through this and then, a closed session meeting, at such time as it was appropriate to have a closed session meeting in the next week or whatever, you know, based on what's happening, at KPFT. And, but what we would need to do is have a motion to extend, the meeting for, you know, something like.
Yeah, I have a request for information.
Yes, go ahead, Lawrence.
If you could, for the benefit of the stream and for the benefit, for my edification, if you could just tell us what's left on the agenda, because I like the move that we carry it over to unfinished business at our next meeting.
So what's left on the agenda are just the two new business items, and one was, excuse me, and we listed that as a 20-minute agenda item. I'm concerned that we could do both items in 20 minutes, but let me tell you what they are. The first one was a resolution for administration and management of LSB listservs for all five Pacifica stations. That motion was in the appendix. The second was a motion on process for hearing on suspension of Donald Goldmacher, and I believe that that is not on the agenda, as in the appendix as a motion, but I believe that was emailed to everybody sometime at the beginning of this meeting. So everyone has the email, but those are the two items that are on the agenda remaining.
So Chair, if I could be recognized again.
Yes, go ahead, Lawrence.
I'd like to be recognized that we carry those two matters over into unfinished business at the next meeting, and that we consider adjourning. I'm not making a motion to adjourn just in case anyone wants to make a motion to extend.
But I'm seconding Lawrence's motion to carry the last two agenda items over to be old business in the next agenda.
And I appreciate you, Chair, wanting to power through. But I've been in negotiations all day. I just got sworn in to a position. So I'm very tired. I've been multitasking, which I'm not good at.
John has a substitute. Chair?
I was just doing some counting. Go ahead. I'm sorry. I'm not good at multitasking as the day progresses into the next day, technically. Go ahead, Sean.
Okay. My substitute is that the first of those two new items get postponed to the next meeting, and that we deal with the notification for the suspension tonight.
Okay, Sean. I'm gonna back you up on this one. I second.
All right. Are there any objections to, is there any discussion about Sean's motion to postpone the first of those two new items to the next meeting?
I have discussion.
Teresa, go ahead.
I'm opposed if we're gonna, I mean, it's late, and if we're gonna flush out this problem, I want to give it plenty of time. So I say no, we shouldn't rush this.
Donald? Donald, then Jim.
No comment.
Jim Dingaman?
Look, I certainly do not look forward to this, but, you know, it is my opinion that, the gauntlet was not thrown by any of us, but by others. And we already have an estimate that this is going to cost $30,000 to $75,000, whatever the amount is. And so this has to be dealt with. You know, what other lawsuits are we may expect coming up down the road? I mean, you know, is the objective, in my opinion, to simply further sap us of resources? We're just arguing about something that I think is very precious to have elections. We don't have the money to do that for all sorts of reasons. Why don't we just concentrate on solving that problem rather than waste time with this? But unfortunately, this has come up. It wasn't my decision to have to deal with this, but unfortunately, we have no choice.
Well, point of information, Madam Chair, did you circulate a process or did you just have the agenda item that was TBD? Because I didn't see any process.
Yeah, no. You're right. There's no process listed there.
Okay. It's just the TBD.
It's just the TBD. And so there's a motion that came via email, which I'll be frank, I haven't really had a chance to read.
I think that something that has this, if that is this grave should not be done in a sloppy manner, where we don't know what we're talking about.
Okay, so hang on. There was also a cue. James McFadden and Jim Sagerton.
I'm assuming that this is a notification that there'll be something more extensive in the future, and so that Mr. Goldmacher can organize his arguments in his favor and give him a fair chance to hear what the problem is. And the problem is in the motion that was sent to us all. Or am I mistaken? It seems like we give him this notification and then we have a in-depth discussion after he's been able to pull together a set of arguments, or is there something else going on here?
Point of information, what is the motion?
The motion is in email, and I'm sorry, I can't.
Julie, I have the motion from Beth.
Go ahead.
Should Beth
send it?
It's been sent to well, let me check who it was sent to.
I looked at my email and didn't find it.
The National Board 3 hours ago at 5:52 Pacific time.
I didn't find it.
It's in the inbox. I got it.
I'm forwarding it to the Pacifica National Board, copying the recording secretary.
Chair, point of order, Chair.
Yeah. I can read it if you want me to.
Yeah, could somebody.
I want to see it.
Point of order.
He's sending.
Yeah. Hang on. Lawrence is raising a point of order. Go ahead, Lawrence.
Okay, so we still haven't moved to a stand time, and we are discussing a process motion right now, a notification motion without a standing time. There was one motion made, and then there was a substitute by Sean Rose, and I think that's what's in order, Chair.
Thank you, Lawrence. You're absolutely correct. Let me just say to people that there is an email. It came from Beth. It came at 8:56 p.m. Eastern Time, and the subject line is resolution. That's what we're talking about. Beth, we would be talking about. I'm sorry, Beth. Go ahead.
I just want to clarify that it was a collaborative effort, and someone else had tried to send it and couldn't send it to the whole list, and so I forwarded it to me, and I forwarded it to the entire list. So my name on it is purely procedural. Thank you.
Okay, yes, what is on the floor really is Sean's motion about carrying over the item about listservs, which would effectively mean continuing this evening to deal with this particular resolution.
And that we would deal with the notification part tonight.
And that we would deal with the notification part tonight. Right. Exactly.
I don't understand the significance of that.
So let me just take a moment to explain. Our bylaws don't set, they set up a process for removal of a director that, that has, you have to give someone at least 30 days notice before you can have the hearing, and, you have the hearing, and then you can, and then at the end of the hearing, the PMB takes a vote. And this is all in the bylaws, except that the bylaws refer strictly to removal of a director, right? This is not about removal of a director, but we could choose to follow a similar kind of process in terms of talking about suspension of a director, which is a lesser, less extreme penalty, right? But be that as it may, you know, a lot of that motion is about, you know, it's a lot of whereas clauses, right? To, well, I haven't read them all, but, you know, it basically gets down to, be it resolved, there's a suspension. And that what you would do is you would, the process really is the following, the, you know, the process that's in our bylaws, even though it's a process that's set out for removal of directors, to borrow that process and say, hey, we're just going to use that here. And, but in terms of due process, that means, you know, setting it up for, a meeting that would be sometime in June. And I don't know if that helped or not. And we need to either, we need to vote on Sean's motion, which is to say that we are carrying over the first of those items to the next session, meaning that we're not carrying over the second of those items to the next session. So are there any objections to Sean's
motion?
Yes, I object. Okay. Marion, can we take a vote? Voting doesn't count against time clocks anyways.
Okay. This takes a second here. Okay. Sean's motion. Sorry, this takes a bit. Okay, so Sean's motion to amend the agenda, I guess we're going to call it.
It's to carry over item 10. Hang on, I'll come up with it.
Yeah. Carry over item 10A, but not 10B.
Right.
Okay, Teresa Allen.
I think no.
Okay, votes no. Jim Dingaman.
Yes.
Votes yes. Vanessa Dixon Briggs.
Yes.
Votes yes. Donald Goldmacher. Donald Goldmacher.
No.
Votes no. Sue Goodwin evidently is not there. Heather Gray.
Yes.
Votes yes. Donna Grimes. Is Donna Grimes on the call?
No.
She is not on the call.
She's not on the call.
Okay, gotcha. Let's see. Ali Lexa.
Abstain.
Abstains. Marianne Martinez.
No.
Votes no. James McFadden.
Yes.
Votes yes. Darlene Pagano.
No.
Votes no. Lawrence Reyes.
Yes.
Votes yes. Sean Rhodes.
Yes.
Votes yes. James Sagerton.
Yes.
Votes yes. Mark von Landout.
No.
Votes no. Whoops. I missed Sharon Salam.
She's gone.
She's gone. Well, that's why I missed her. Beth Van Gunten.
Yes.
Votes yes. Egberto Willis.
He's gone.
He's gone. Okay. Susan Young.
No.
Votes no. We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 yes. We have 1, 2, 3, 4 no. The motion carries.
One abstention.
Pardon?
One abstention.
Actually, probably two. I forgot to ask Julie. Julie, how do you choose to vote?
Yeah, I'll abstain.
There are two abstentions.
And Mark is back on the call.
Okay.
He voted, darling. He voted no.
Oh, yeah, that's right. He voted no. I've got him as a no.
Thank you.
Okay, so so now we need a motion to extend, you know, for something, you know, approximating, I don't know, 10 or 15 minutes to cover.
I make a motion to extend for 15 minutes.
Second, James Sagerton.
Are there any objections to the motion to extend for 10 minutes?
Yes.
It was.
And I make a motion to adjourn.
Hang on.
It was 15 minutes.
It was 15 minutes. I misstated that. I'm sorry.
There's a motion to adjourn.
Wasn't
recognized. Mr. Darlene, motion on the floor.
She wasn't recognized, Chair.
Yeah.
I'll make it again. I make a motion to adjourn.
A motion on the floor. You can't make a motion while you're considering another motion.
That's right. Yeah. Sorry. We need.
The only motion that we had was extending for five for.
No, it was extending for 15. And it was
and that passed, and we don't have a motion on the floor. We don't have a motion on the floor at the moment regarding the procedure because it hasn't been brought forward.
Pose order.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Excuse me. There is a motion on the floor. The motion on the floor is to extend for the meeting time for 15 minutes. And I asked whether there were any objections, and I heard an objection. And so now we're going to take a vote, Marion.
Okay. And the vote is to extend for 15 minutes. Teresa Allen.
No.
Votes no. Jan Dingman.
Yes.
Votes yes. Vanessa Dixon Briggs.
Yes.
Votes yes. Donald Goldmacher. Donald Goldmacher?
No.
Votes no. Heather Gray?
Yes.
Votes yes. Donna Grimes is not on. Evelia Jones. Ali Lexa?
Abstains.
Marianne Martinez?
No.
Votes no. James McFadden.
Yes.
Votes yes. Darlene Pagano.
No.
Votes no. Lawrence Reyes.
Yes.
Votes yes. Sean Rhodes.
Yes.
Votes yes. James Sagerton.
Yes.
Votes yes. Sharon Salam.
He's gone.
Is gone, sorry. Mark Van Landuyt.
No.
No.
Votes no. Beth Van Gunten.
Yes.
Votes yes. Susan Young.
No.
Votes no. Okay, we have 1, 2.
Secretary, I think Donna Grimes is back.
Oh, okay. Sorry about that. Donna Grimes, how do you choose to vote?
I'm sorry, what are we voting on? I just.
Extending time for 15 minutes.
Okay, yes.
Votes yes. Okay. We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 yes votes. We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 no votes. Julie, how do you choose to vote?
I'll abstain.
Okay. The motion passes. 15 more minutes.
Okay.
Motion to adjourn.
You weren't actually recognized. That we are at item 10B on the agenda, which is the motion on the process to suspend Donald Goldmacher. James, do you have the motion and can you read it?
Are you asking me? Chair,
yes.
James Sagerton?
Yes, James Sagerton.
I do. I'll read it. This is a resolution to suspend Donald Goldmacher from the Pacifica National Board. Whereas Donald Goldmacher is a member of the Pacifica National Board, PNB, whereas the PNB is the governing body of the Pacifica Foundation, and under its bylaws, quote, the activities and affairs of the foundation shall be conducted, and all corporate powers shall be exercised by or under the direction of the board, unquote. Whereas one of the specific duties of the board is the obligation to, quote, oversee the conduct, management, and control of the foundation's affairs and activities, including the monitoring of the activities and actions of its radio stations and national staff consistent with applicable laws and regulations, the articles of incorporation, and these bylaws. Whereas the PNB is a democratic entity elected by local station boards who are elected by the members, which is supposed to function democratically as a body. Whereas corporate officers and directors stand in a fiduciary relationship, in a fiduciary relation to the corporation and its members, a public policy existing throughout the years derived from a profound knowledge of human characteristics and motives has established that a rule that demands of a corporate officer or director peremptorily and inexorably the most scrupulous observation of his duty, not only affirmatively to protect the interests of the corporation committed to his charge, but also to refrain from doing anything that would work injury to the corporation. Whereas corporate officers and directors, quote, who participate in the management of the corporation by exercising some discretion to manage its day-to-day operations owe the corporation a fiduciary duty and a duty of loyalty, unquote. Whereas without raising any issues to the PNB about his concerns about the functioning of WBAI or other stations, Donald Goldmacher has played a lead role in a group of people, some of whom are Pacifica members, which has filed a 500-page, quote, petition to deny, unquote, with the FCC, which seeks to either have the FCC deny the renewal of Pacifica's license in New York or have it assessed a fine or have it be granted a conditional renewal with a monitor overseeing content. Whereas this petition is an existential threat not only to Pacifica's activities in New York, but its existence elsewhere, since this is a roadmap to attacks on Pacifica from its enemies without. Whereas the defense of the petition will cost Pacifica tens of thousands of dollars better used for programming activities. And whereas by acting in this manner, Donald Goldmacher has breached his fiduciary duty to Pacifica, his duty of loyalty, making his continued presence at governance meeting inimical to the best interests of the foundation. It is hereby resolved that Donald Goldmacher is suspended from the PNB and barred from attending even open meetings of the board for a period of not less than 3 months until the petition in front of the FCC is resolved. Your baseless attack on Pacifica's license in New York City will cost Pacifica significant money to defend. That's it.
Is there a second to the motion?
Lawrence seconds, probably.
Thank you, Lawrence. Are there any objections to the motion?
I object.
All right.
Madam Chair.
I skipped over discussion.
Madam Chair, this is a parliamentarian.
Yes, go ahead, Mr. Tatum.
That last sentence that he read, if he would read that again, because I believe it belongs in the whereas clauses. Would you read that sentence again?
I think you're correct. Your baseless attack on Pacifica's license in New York City in NYC will cost Pacifica significant money to defend.
Yeah, that should,
that should be a whereas. I agree.
Okay. Thank you.
Question is, where is Madam Chair?
Yeah, yeah. Go ahead.
Where is the notice? I thought we were,
So this is
about a notice.
This is the notice. You were not,
Chair, I have a request for information.
Yes, go ahead, Lawrence. Go ahead, Lawrence.
So this is, our charges, if you will, for lack of a better word, our charges against the actions of, Donald Goldmacher. I believe the notice is going to be served tonight, and the date of the meeting to resolve the charges will be, the first meeting of the PNB in June, I believe, which will codify the 30-day requirement. Is that correct, Chair?
Technically, it is not, and I have to look at a calendar right now, and I'll be right back.
Yeah, it might be off a day or two.
It is. The first Thursday in June is June 2nd, and because today is, May 5th. Still is in your part of the woods. That's not 30 days. And so if we wanted to stick to, the process, then that's laid out in our bylaws in terms of giving 30 days notice, then we would have to have a special meeting on June 9th. If we wanted to stick to, we could have it another day, but if we wanted to stick to the kind of standard for PNB meetings on Thursday evenings, then we would do, the hearing meeting on June 9th. And it could be a special meeting for that purpose and that purpose only, unless of course there's some other, issue that comes up between now and June 9th that, requires discussion at a meeting on June 9th.
What is the motion?
So that's a good question, Susan, but the motion at the moment is,
James, Chair, if I can clarify.
Chair, may I be recognized?
Yes, James. Yeah,
I'll yield to James. Go ahead, James.
This is not a motion to expel a director. This is a motion to suspend, which is controlled by Robert's rules, and I don't believe there is a 30-day period. This is a motion that can be voted on now. Should be voted on now.
Oh, my God.
This is why we're suddenly not concerned about how late the people on the East Coast have to stay up.
Chair, this is as long as I seek a point of order.
Yeah, please, folks, seek to be recognized first. Lawrence, go ahead.
I think in fairness, I think we should still stick to the 30-day notice and have the meeting, the hearing, if you will, for lack of a better word, on June 9th, at the special meeting. So if you, allow me to make that motion, Chair, I will make that motion. I will move that forward.
I would make a point of order.
Go ahead, Jim Sagerton, on your point of order.
I would just like to ask Mr. Tatum if he can help straighten us out here on Robert's rules.
Yeah, Robert's rules says that you have to stick with your bylaws when it comes to this kind of situation. So your bylaws do speak to 30 days, and the differentiation that Julie was talking about earlier is that your bylaws talk about an expulsion, and Robert's rules talks about discussing the fine or the situation that was the infraction and basing your punishment, and this is Robert, but you're basing your punishment on what the infraction was. So all of that comes up in the discussion. So in short, I'm saying that the 30-day requirement, Robert says that you've got to follow your bylaws when it comes to the 30 days. But Robert also says that the board can discuss the penalty, the infraction, and the penalty.
Chair, may I have a follow-up, please?
Yes, go ahead, James. Say yeah.
Mr. Tatum, isn't it the case that and I believe our bylaws specify this, if something is not in the bylaws, then Robert's rules controls. And our bylaws only mention expulsion, whereas Robert's rules offers censure, which we've done, suspension, which I believe we've done, and also expulsion. So we'd be following Robert's rules on suspension, not the bylaws rule on expulsion, which requires the 30 days.
Chair,
let Mr. Tatum finish answering this.
Let me just have one follow-up. The thing about Robert's Rules of Order and your bylaws is that Robert's Rules of Order is exchanging the word expulsion that you have in your bylaws. You have expulsion in your bylaws. So Roberts is saying that that word can be changed, but Roberts doesn't say that you can change other things. It does not say that. Thank you.
Chair, may I have my second point of order?
Lawrence, go ahead.
Yeah, so I appreciate Mr. Tatum's opinion. I think it's a sage and well thought out opinion. And I think for the sake of due process, if you will, I'm sure Arthur would understand that, that we fall back first on what our bylaws say in regards to the 30-day notice, and then go to the other element of suspension. So my motion is that we notice a 30-day notice to Mr. Goldmacher, who's on the call, and hold the hearing at the June 9th special meeting, Chair. So that's my motion. I'll seek a second.
Sean will second.
James for the stack.
Thank you. I have a long stack, and so
is this a new stack with a new motion?
Yes, it is. But it's hard to tell because there's still a lot of hands up. Jim Sagerton, go ahead.
Thank you. And I thank you. Okay, I'm going to say that for the sake of protecting the foundation, that I'm going to cast my vote with caution to afford the maximum due process and support the 30-day notice, even though I still am not convinced that it's required. But I think for the sense of fairness that the room seems to be demanding, and to avoid any further lawsuits and liability for the foundation, I think that's the way to go. Thank you.
Thanks. Okay, so I'm going to look at hands, and the order I see them in is Beth, then Lawrence, then Darlene.
Okay, I'm putting mine down.
I think mine was up from before. This is Beth.
Okay.
Sorry.
That's okay. So then we're at Darlene. Then Vanessa, then Teresa. Darlene, go ahead.
I'm really put in a bad place dealing with the astonishing level of paranoia about this, about all the devastating and crashing down on the foundation that is the language tonight. There are a goodly number of problems in the in Pacifica, and to coalesce around one curmudgeon who does things that you don't like, especially if you feel like it's directed at your station. It's just astonishing. And that everybody on this call who's on the East Coast was suddenly willing to stay up till 12:45 in the morning for this just lets me know how desperately you all have been spinning out of control with paranoia over the last few days. This is wrong. Wrong.
Vanessa,
well, they're defending their station.
Hang on.
Beg pardon?
Never
mind. Beg pardon?
Yeah, no crosstalk.
Sorry, I should have muted.
I'll recognize people. Vanessa, and then Teresa.
Okay, so first and foremost, as a person on the East Coast, and for those who see a conspiracy and everything, where none exists, we were on in this meeting until 1:00 last week. And there was no discussion of this issue. We didn't know about this issue. So maybe control your imaginations. This does not affect my station, PFW, directly. It affects another station. And I am deeply, deeply offended that a member of this body would behave in such an egregious manner. So this is not about someone who is offended by something that's affecting their station. It affects us all. We're a network. It affects us all, either directly or indirectly. And this would have a devastating impact on the network. And, you know, in terms of whether to proceed, give the 30-day notice, you know, the jury's out. They're going to sue anyway. They're going to always find some reason to sue because there's an agenda to destroy. And it's destroying by, you know, one cut at a time, one lawsuit at a time, 50,000 here, 75,000 there, endless frivolous lawsuits. So it doesn't matter what we do. They'll find a reason to sue.
Teresa, then Jim Dingman.
Well, I guess the concern is that they do have reason to sue and we should do something about it because maybe they've had reason to sue for a long time. And yes, I did protest last week because I came to a meeting thinking we were having an executive session to deal with some really pressing confidential matters. And part of the agenda was, as time permits, deal with some other things on the agenda, which we put first. So that wasn't really time permits. We gave them all the time. And then to conduct our executive session business, we went over time. And I was dying. If you look at, I mean, when I looked at myself, I was just dying. So, I mean, it's not just, you might think that Egberto Willis is on central, is in central time zone, but no, he's on the East Coast. And he was tired and he left. So, I don't appreciate doing all of this at the last minute. I think, well, I won't even ask the question. Thank you.
Dingman, then James McFadden. Jim Dingman, you're muted. Still. All right, James McFadden, you go, and then we'll come back to Jim Dingman.
I just wanted to say that this is a potentially $54 million threat to Pacifica. And I would not characterize the person sponsoring this threat as a curmudgeon. A curmudgeon is somebody who complains about free food at a dinner party. You know, this is something far beyond some kind of pettiness. This is a real, and you know, and if these continue, it's an existential threat to Pacifica. And that is not a joke. And to try to make it something smaller than that, because you want to defend somebody who's making these threats, I think is just completely out of character and completely wrong.
Jim Sagerton.
Arthur is with us. and I'd just like to ask his opinion on the 30-day process.
Teresa, you weren't recognized. I'm sorry.
Sorry.
I think that, you know, and I would defer to John, but I think that the discussion of immediate action on suspending somebody in Robert's Rules is about someone who's being unruly at a meeting, where you can act immediately. I do think that it's much wiser to go with the 30 days. I do think that if we have a discussion, say, we have a special meeting where Melanie Virtue comes in to talk about the petition, Mr. Goldmacher has to be barred. He may not like it, but we'd have to bar him. Because for him to listen to a meeting where we're talking to counsel who's dealing with, litigation he initiated would be, a violation. It's such an incredible violation of his and our responsibilities that he would have to be, pushed out.
Thank you, Arthur.
Yeah. Jim Dingman.
Yes. Sorry. I got bounced out. None of us asked to have to deal with this. None of us last week were thinking about this. I was very happy to go into executive session and discuss issues that pertain to positive things to do in Houston. And to those in KPFA who are listening, you're talking to the person who actually organized and got the permits to defend your station in New York City in 1999. I was the guy who got the permits in Washington Square under my name, under my risk, to defend when you were shut down. So I find it frankly absurd to have a discussion like this when this is something none of us wanted to have happen. And again, I'd rather be spending the energy trying to solve the financial problems. I fully understand how people get motivated out in California because they're quite frustrated over the collapse of the stations for the past 20 years. But the previous members of this board did not do the damn things they needed to do to solve that problem. Now we have a potential to do that, and we're forced to waste time with issues like this. With issues like this, which none of us wanted. So, yes, I think we should be fair. We should approach this as fairly as possible. But what about the fairness to those of us who now have to waste our time dealing with this? And you talk about paranoia. I mean, please, it's all public record that people in California set up dummy corporations. I'm not stating a belief. It's a fact. So come on, it's my opinion, humbly, that yes, indeed, we're seeing something unfold. It's nefarious, in my opinion.
Mr. Tatum and then Lawrence.
Yes, thank you. One more bite at the apple. Pertaining to the 30 days and pertaining to Roberts, it is true that you cannot change your bylaws. So that means Roberts would not allow you to do 29 days or even 31 days or 0 days, which you're trying to do today. You're trying to do 0 days. So Robert would not allow that. However, I would just say this again. Roberts will allow you to change the word expulsion to suspension, censure, slap in the face, and those other kinds of things. Roberts would allow that. Thank you.
Thanks. Lawrence?
Thank you, Chair. So, I just can't let this get away. I want to address this paranoia notion that people on the East Coast or in the network are paranoid. because this is not a little innocent jaywalking ticket. This is like, as far as I'm concerned, this is a major crime to the network. So, I just want to remind my colleagues that I put forward a motion to change the date and time so those on the East Coast could get more rest and could have a shot of having some dinner. And the people on the East Coast voted against that motion. So I don't know where you get the paranoia from. I mean, the questioning the integrity of somebody that's standing up for accountability against these egregious actions that are not an anomaly. This is like a relentless effort from this individual in regards to trying to throw us off the cliff. So you can rule and ruin. You could ruin, but you cannot rule, because we are a resilient network and we are resilient people. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks. So I don't see any more hands. And so we've exhausted the stack and there's a vote now, which is basically the motion to that says that we've served notice and this will take this up in a hearing at a June 9th meeting. Are there any objections to the motion on the floor? I'm hearing no objections. Therefore, the motion passes.
Julie, I do have a question.
I think there was an objection.
Teresa has a hand up. I think she was trying to object.
Okay, hang on. Teresa?
Julie, I had a question.
Yeah, I hear you.
Discussion that was read, is that a part of the motion, or is the motion merely to bring that forward on June 9th? I need to be very clear on what is the motion.
Yes, the motion is to bring forward that motion on June 9th. But that's serving notice and that lays out the case.
But Donald should get that motion in written form beforehand, like tomorrow.
Yeah, yeah. Everyone got it, Ed. Well, okay. We'll make sure. But in theory, everyone got it at 8:56 this evening, Eastern Time. It was sent to the PMB. I'll resend it. All right, I'll resend it and make sure that everybody has it, okay?
No, but there should be a notice, and we can talk about it. There should be a notice to Donald saying you will be.
Oh, okay. I see what you're saying.
Blah, blah.
Formal, complete. Okay, got it. Jim Dingman.
Yes, Madam Chair. Given the fact that people, in my opinion, are using the tactics and forms of litigation to do whatever objectives they have. Suppose between now and that date, we're confronted with another unexpected situation emanating from this group or a group associated with them.
Madam Chair, I thought I was recognized a minute ago and I called to adjourn.
I asked if there were any objections and that's what I understood was going on here. I'd ask for any objections to the motion, and I heard none.
And you heard none, and I raised my hand, and you called my name, and I said I moved to adjourn.
Oh, I'm sorry. I did not hear you say that.
Oh, well, sorry. I did.
I didn't hear it.
And anyway, at the same time, Marianne was asking a question about something else.
I didn't hear it.
I know. I have two ears, but somehow that doesn't mean I can hear two things.
Teresa was muted when she had her hand waving.
Madam Chair, I reiterate my concern about actions that could happen between now and the 9th. And as a point of information, whatever, my concerns.
Go ahead, Jim.
Dingman. All right, I expect what I said. Thank you.
Okay.
All right, Teresa.
I move to adjourn.
Is there a second?
Second.
Lisa.
Susan. That was Susan Young. Any objections? Okay, hearing none. It is 12:57 a.m. on the East Coast, and we are adjourned.
Thank you, Julie.
Give me 1 second to cut
this. Thank you, Julie.
Screen.
Thank you, Arthur.
Thank you, Julie.
Thank you, John Pitt.
Good night, everyone. Good night, everyone.
Good night, everyone.
Everyone.
You're welcome, everyone.